Isaiah is discouraged at the beginning of his ministry, and I believe that God, in his almighty knowledge, knew what Isaiah needs. What this mighty prophet of God needs is he needs a fresh vision of who I am.
This is Straight Talk.
Thank you for tuning in. This is Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Halleck. So excited today to be your host on this program. I'm here with Pastor Mark Job from New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, you've got us in a brand new series called Deeper, and it's taking us beyond shallow spirituality. And you've got us in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, and you've titled this message, The Gateway to Spiritual Renewal. And you're going to take us down the road with Isaiah renewing his vision for his life and what God wants him to do. And how does this strike at somebody listening here who may have just tuned in, not caught the first half of the message?
You know, what strikes me, Joshua, about this passage itself is that Israel was living in a time where the image of God had deteriorated. He was one God among other gods. The respect for his holiness had kind of come down. They were living lukewarm. It was a cultural type of religion that they experienced. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Where people are, they'll check their status as Christian, but they'll use the Lord's name in vain easily. Where God is sort of one of the multiple options out there. And God is awakening through this vision that Isaiah has. He's reminding Isaiah, hey, I'm not just a little God. I am the God of the universe, high and lifted up. He has to sort of shake Isaiah's soul to realize, hey, Isaiah, I am high and lifted up. That encounter with God changes Isaiah and prepares him for his call and his mission.
His deeper spiritual experience doesn't start with him.
It doesn't start with him. It starts with an exposure to the presence of God. And Joshua, I think it always starts there.
Well, this is a moment where you, as a listener, have the opportunity to get a deeper experience of the image of who is this Almighty God. And we're praying as you tune in today that you would experience a little bit of what Isaiah experienced that day as we go through this message called The Gateway to Spiritual Renewal. We're in Isaiah chapter 6.
After all, we're all flesh and blood. And the days of your life and the days of my life are in the hands of God. I want to remind you, as quickly as you've risen to wherever you're at, with one stroke of the hand of God, you can be knocked down from that pedestal. Never forget that. You say, well, as long as I have my back and my muscle, listen, in one strike of disease, you can lose your health. As long as I have my bank account and my car and my money and my investments, listen, with one swipe of the hand of Almighty God, a stock market can crash and you can be in the poorhouse. So as long as I have my mind and my intellect, which is really, really developed and high, and listen, with one strike of disease, one blow to the head, you could have the mind of a child. Never take your position, what God has given you, the place that He's at, for granted. Because as quickly as you have arisen to that position, so also you can be taken down from that position. We live in that state of humility before God. King Uzziah decided that he was going to offer sacrifice or incense on the altar of incense right in front of the Holy of Holies. He decided in his mind he was big enough, great enough to do so. So he took a censer in his hand to burn in the altar of incense. And the Bible says that he marched down the streets of Judah, probably with his entire escort around him, the governors and everybody else, making a spectacle among the people, letting the people know, I am great King Uzziah. I will go into the temple. No other king has done this, but I will. And he marched right into the temple. When Azariah the priest saw him, he said, stop, you're not allowed to do so. 80 courageous priests stopped him and said, King Uzziah, with all respect, you cannot offer incense. The Bible tells us, look what it says. Verse 19, Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand ready to burn the incense, became angry. And while he was raging at the priest, in the presence before the altar of the Lord's temple, have you ever seen someone go into a rage? The veins are popping out in the neck. The face is red. Spittles are being shot all over the place. The voice is strained. Eyes bulging out. Uzziah in front of all the priests proclaiming, pounding his chest, how he is the king, how who are they to stop them? Do they know that he could have them all executed and that God has had his hand upon him, that he is worthy to do that? That who are they to stop them? That he is the king of Judah, that if God wanted to stop them, God himself could stop them. He's going to do it no matter what they say. Indignant, powerful, that's what pride does to us at times. And the Bible says that he pushed through the priest. He went to the altar. Verse 20. Verse 19. While he was raging in their presence before the incense of the altar, something happened to him. While he is red-faced, screaming at the priest, declaring how high he is and how no one can stop him, suddenly the faces of the priest begin to change. They begin to whisper to one another. Some of them look aghast at him. Their mouth open. And then Uzziah himself feels something distinctly different about him. He reaches and touches his forehead, and probably most likely a piece of skin falls off. Because as he was speaking to the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead. Do you know what leprosy is? Thank God it's a disease that we don't struggle with in North America, but there's still some leprosy colonies in places like India and so forth. It's a disease that eats away at the vital tissues of your body. Fingers fall off. Toes fall off. Chunks of skin become so corroded and eaten away that they begin to fall away. It was a deadly degenerative disease. And as he was raging in all his pride, leprosy broke out on his forehead. And all of them saw it, and then he realized what had happened to him. And the Bible says that they looked at him and saw that he had leprosy on his forehead. And so they hurried him out. And I love this phrase. And indeed, he himself was eager to leave. Get me out of here, okay? You know how Uzziah ended his days? They built a separate home for him. No longer in the palace. He no longer sat on the mighty throne that he was used to sit on. He no longer gave orders and had great processions in which he could display his mighty robes and have people bow in front of him. He no longer brought in the nations from the outside to come and talk. He no longer celebrated great banquets. He no longer dressed in great royal robes to entertain international hosts from afar. He no longer appeared in public before the people. He no longer strutted his prideful, kingly self. Now he secluded himself in a house beside the palace. Few people saw him. As the deadly disease progressed from forehead to face, disfiguring his face, spreading to the rest of his body, within a decade, he died a disfigured man, disgraced and full of leprosy. His son who succeeded him was not a godly person as well. The nation had been hit by the disgrace of their king. The people had been influenced by his pride, and they also worshiped God but had other gods and did not give God the reverence that he deserved. So now, 15 years after this leprosy incident, Isaiah is praying in the temple. It's a downtime. It's a discouraging time. It's a time where the people aren't flocking to the things of God, where There's a mediocrity in the air where people have God, but they have other gods. Where people know about God, but aren't worshiping God. Where there's a pluralism that exists in the country where it's not a country that's seeking God. It's a country that is spiritually lukewarm. Isaiah is discouraged at the beginning of his ministry, and I believe that God in his almighty knowledge knew what Isaiah needs. What this mighty prophet of God needs is he needs a fresh vision of who I am. Because he will never call the people to repentance. He will never be on a mission. He will never revive. He will never speak with conviction unless this image of who I am is implanted in his spirit, and he understands that I'm much bigger, much greater, much higher than the vision that has been portrayed of me. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, Isaiah says. And then he goes on to describe his vision of God. I saw the Lord. He was seated on a throne, high and exalted. Isaiah describes a vision of seeing God high upon a throne. A brilliant being seated on a throne that indicates sovereignty, authority, and superiority. You see, it's the throne of God that dictates the affairs of man. It's the sovereignty of God that rules over the universe. There is no power greater than God's power. He elevates kings and puts them down. He raises nations and bashes them down. He is God Almighty, King of kings, Lord of the universe. There is no one that equates to his power. Kings rise and go. He endures forever. He is sovereign over all. I saw him high and lifted up, and the train of his robe, the overflowing train of his robe, fluttered down from the throne and filled the entire temple where Isaiah was at. And he says, and as I looked at that throne, I saw some beings. They were called seraphs, angelic beings. Seraph is a type of angel that means like brilliant, glowing. And these seraphs had six wings, it says. With two wings, these seraphs were covering their face. Because our eyes behold glory. And the glory of God is too unfathomable for us to behold. So with two wings, they covered their face to shield themselves from the glory of God. With two wings, they covered their feet because it's your feet that walk on the ground. And your feet are always a symbol of the lowly, dirty part of you. And so two wings covered their feet and two wings covered their face. And with the two other wings, they flew around this great and mighty throne. And their voices called out to one another in a thunderous noise that their voices made that literally shook the doorposts of the temple and the foundation of the temple.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled The Gateway to Spiritual Renewal. It's from our series called Deeper, Beyond Shallow Spirituality. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, and our message is called The Gateway to Spiritual Renewal.
Have you ever heard a noise that would shake a house or rattle windows? If you've ever been around an earthquake or an earth tremor, that's the kind of vibration that causes. Or if you live by the L. And as these angelic beings spoke loudly to one another, they said to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All of the earth is full of His glory. And then as soon as one said that, another angelic being would echo back to them and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All the earth is full of His glory. And as soon as that angel finished, another angel would call out and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All the earth is full of His glory. And the smoke of the splendor of His glory filled the temple, so as though one mighty fog machine filled the temple with the brilliance of this being seated on the throne and the echoes of the angels around Him declaring His glory. Holy? Why holy? See, God has a lot of attributes, doesn't He? They could have said, love, love, love is the Lord God Almighty. They could have said, grace, grace, grace is the Lord God Almighty. They could have said, kind, kind, kind is the Lord God Almighty. Faithful, faithful, faithful is the Lord God Almighty. Knowledgeable, knowledgeable, knowledgeable is the Lord God Almighty. Powerful, powerful, powerful is the Lord God Almighty. Why holy? Why holy? In Revelation, the Bible tells us that the angelic beings say the same thing. Holy, holy, holy. What is it about holy? What does holy mean? Why is it that they call holy? What is so important about the characteristic of holy? Most of us, when we say the word holy, we only have this vague, generic idea of what it means, but we can't really define it. If you look at the Hebrew definition of holy, it is from the root word to cut. To cut. To cut out and separate. God is holy because He is a cut away and above from every other being. He is in a category by Himself. He has no rival. He has no competition. He is holy, unblemished, by Himself in a category that cannot be equated, that cannot be rivaled. It speaks to the character, His unblemished brilliance of character. We are taught to pray by Jesus when we speak the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. What does hallowed mean? It means holy is Your name. We are taught to pray, our Father who art in heaven, Your name is holy. It means Your name is set apart. There is no other name like Your name. You are unlike any other existing being. You are in a category all by Yourself. You are so high and lifted up that we cannot even begin to touch and fathom the greatness of Your name. You are holy. And it is out of that holiness that His love flows, His grace flows, His kindness flows, His mercy flows, His everything flows out of the holiness of God. When God loves, He loves like you have never known, because His love comes out of His separate, His love comes out of His holiness. When God says He loves you, He's not like a 17-year-old boyfriend that says He loves you. No, no, His love is much bigger than that. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All the earth is full of His glory. And so you see, it's the holiness of God that reflects His glory. What is the glory of God? The glory of God is the radiance of His attributes. It's the shine of His character. And as Isaiah was exposed to the glory and holiness of God, as Isaiah exposed to us, the Bible says that Isaiah had a reaction to it. And I want you to see the reaction. It tells us that when he saw him and he heard them, verse 4, at the sound of their voices, the doorpost thresholds shook and the temple was full of smoke. Verse 5, it's the reaction to God's holiness. And I said, woe to me, I cried. I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Let me tell you what happens when you see God. When you have a fresh vision of God. when you have a vision beyond just the man upstairs or lady or little baby Jesus. I run into people that still say, well, I'm praying to little, you know, the Hispanics say, Jesucito, you know, little baby Jesus, almost as though you're praying to some divine baby. Listen, I want to tell you, Jesus is not a divine baby. If you read in the book of Revelation, you see he's got a sword in his mouth. He comes with power and might and authority. He comes as a conqueror. He comes as the victorious King of kings and Lord of lords. He is not this innocent little creature. He was born that way for a season on earth, but he is the victorious King of kings and Lord of lords. Remember that. And when Isaiah was exposed to this in the temple, the Bible says that he saw this vision of God's glory. And I want you to see his reaction, because he did not immediately go to worship, which would be a proper response. He didn't say, let me get the other high priest so that he can see this as well. It wasn't a response of curiosity. It wasn't a response of inspiration. It wasn't a response of worship. The response to God's glory was one of brokenness and repentance. He said, woe is me, I'm ruined. You're ruined? Because at that flash, suddenly, Isaiah saw the contrast between his holiness, God's holiness, and his sinfulness. You see, you'll never understand how sinful you are and how much you need to be fixed until you're exposed to the brilliance of God's glory and character. You see, a lot of us don't think we're that bad because we keep comparing ourselves to our neighbors. And there's always a neighbor worse than us. How about it? Yeah, you know, I got issues, Pastor. You should see the guy next door. Man. That guy, he needs God. He needs church. You know, I got my issues. I'm not perfect. No one's perfect. I try to do right, stay out of, you know, not do too much bad, not hurt people. If they hurt me, I try, I'm human. I get that all the time. You think God grades on a scale? Like, okay, there's a bunch of Fs, you're going to be the highest of the Fs here. God doesn't grade on a scale. There's no sliding scale with God. You are in the light of his holiness. It's God's character and his holiness. That's why the Bible says that none is good enough to come to God on his own. That none of us, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none of us that our own merit can make it to God, because the standard is God's perfection. The standard is God's holiness, and we all fall short. Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am ruined. He saw his own sinfulness, and then he saw the sinfulness of the people around him. And he says, and I live among a people of unclean lips. You see, he realized that he needed cleansing. Here's what I want you to understand. Most of us walk and don't think we need renewal because we haven't had an elevated vision of God. Spiritual renewal starts with a new vision of God. A new vision of God. A new vision of God. Spiritual renewal starts by seeing, being exposed to the unadulterated presence of God. And then you'll begin to realize, going back to the caving illustration, we would get really, really dirty going in these caves. But when you're in the middle of the cave and the lights are dark and all you have is a flashlight, you don't realize how dirty you are. But when you start getting to the mouth of the cave, when the sunlight starts hitting, we would look at each other and say, wow, we're really dirty, aren't we? But we never noticed how dirty we were until we came into the light. Yeah. Hear me well. Some of us never know how much we need to change because we're not that close to the light. We're not walking into the presence of his holiness. The more you walk closer to God, the more you realize how much you need to change. Isaiah saw, woe is me, I'm ruined. He fell on his face before God. I can imagine him shaking and weeping before God, saying, I'm ruined. How can we ever survive? I'm sinful. I live in a sinful people. Oh, what can we do? I need to be clean. I need to be clean. I need to be washed. How can I find washing? The seraph saw where he was at. And the Bible says that the seraph flew over to the altar and took coals from the altar that were burning hot, that animals had been sacrificed to, and brought them over to Isaiah. And as these coals were burning hot, he placed it upon Isaiah's lips. Now, there's several things that is symbolic of. I think, first of all, you cannot find cleansing except from the altar of Jesus, the shed blood of Jesus. But the other thing you need to understand is that purification is always painful. There's no such thing as purification without pain. You see, when God starts cleansing you, when you start turning away from things and you repent before God, it's painful. Conviction is painful.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Job in the second half of his message called The Gateway to Spiritual Renewal. It's from our brand new series called Deeper, Beyond Shallow Spirituality. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you with your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message or the entire series, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We'd love to invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago and the surrounding areas. You can check out all of our locations and the times that we meet at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you, and please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing to you, and we ask that you join us again on the next Straight Talk. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your listenership. On behalf of Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself, have a great night, and God bless.